Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
God for you.
And so I'm asking you right now, I want to go into a opening prayer. I usually go into an opening prayer where I'm acknowledging those of you that has lost loved ones. And so I'm asking you to go with me in prayer to pray for those that has lost loved ones, and then we'll go on into an opening prayer. So right now we're going to go into acknowledgement of those of you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, last 48 hours, last 24 hours, 12 hours, 6 hours, 5 hours, 30 minutes ago, seconds ago, this very moment. And we want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of despair. In your hour of bereavement, we want you to know that you are not alone. Because as warriors and people of God and pilgrims and disciples, the Bible says we are to pray for one and another as long as it is called day. Pray daily for one another. You don't have to know an individual to pray for them. You don't have to be in the same skin tone. But God is said to pray for one another as long as it is called day. So as long as you and I are on planet Earth in our right mind, in a spiritual mindset, we are to pray for one another around the world. Not just your family and you, but you are to pray for your family and other families as well, those that you know and those that you do not have any connection with, because this is a spiritual thing. So we can't get so self-centered that we just praying for me, mine, and ours, but we're to pray for our families, your families, and the families abroad, if we are to be in obedience with God. That is his guidelines, and those are his bylaws. So I'm asking you to go with me now. Hallelujah. As I go into opening prayer, and I was going to finish, and I should go ahead and finish this before I get into something else, because I can get excited when I get on this thing here and get to talking about God and all that I know that he's done for you and you and you. And yet we want to sit with a closed mouth. God didn't even have to touch and wake us up this morning. But God so graciously touched us and told us to rise, my son, rise, my daughter. And we obeyed. Hallelujah. Some of you did not, were able to adhere to your name on the roll this morning. Some of you may have been called into the chambers of demise. But those of you that are standing, you ought to be lifting your hands right now, right where you stand, or you're sitting, or you're squatting, you're kneeling, you're lying. And raise your hand toward heaven. Tell God that you thank him for all that he's done and what he's going to do in your life in the coming year, in the coming month. Because we got one more month after this month. Then this year will be out. So I just want that individual that has lost a loved one in the time span that I just announced. I want you to know that God has prayer warriors praying for you and with you, that God will restore your joy and bring about restoration to your heart and to your soul. And may God bless you is our prayer. Amen. All right, we're going to go now into our opening prayer. I'm asking those of you that will to reference God. Hallelujah. We should reference God in all that we do and say. So we're going to reference him right now, and I'm asking you to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and of your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us, God, to gather together and unite once again, God, around the spectrum. Father God, we know that when you left, God, you told us that you went away to prepare a place for us. And when you return, you will come to receive us unto yourself. But until that day is upon us, God, Lord, I want to just thank you for allowing us this podium, God, to get out your message to all of those that will listen, those that have an ear to hear what the church has to say, what the Lord has to say to the church. So we come in full circle, God, and we thank you, God, hallelujah, for allowing us to connect. And we're coming together, God, as pilgrims, hallelujah, starting from the north, south, east, and west. And I'm asking you on this evening, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom. Hallelujah to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the congregation of God and his people say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, you are tuned in once again, a live church service of the Old Ship of Zion / God House of Deliverance, Digital Pentecostal, Digital Worldwide Ministry. I'm just talking so fast, trying to get all of this in. But you're tuned into the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. And I just thank you once again for tuning in. And we're going to take you right now, without any preliminaries, into a live church service. This is live. This is not a pre-recording, but this is live church service on your Blog Talk Dial. This is Blog Talk Radio, and I want you to go with me as I go into our first key scripture for this evening, and it reads this: take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Hallelujah. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 11 and 29. And we're talking about faith. We're talking about being trapped in our belief. We're talking about being burdened down with whatever have us burdened. Jesus invite us to lay down our heavy ladens, our burdens, at his feet. God said he will give you and I rest for our weary soul. But we must have confidence in God. We must not be a doubting Thomas, doubting Thomases, Miss Thomas, Mr. Thomas. But we must believe that God is a holy deity, because that's what he is. He is a holy deity. He is a spirit. And the scripture tell us those that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. So we can't be, you know, half believer, being a half-baked Christian. But we have to believe God and take God at his word. God has never told a lie to us, and he never shall. God hates liars. So God is a God of his word. And so we know that in this society we have people that just don't have the faith that it takes to believe God. But you know, the Bible tells us you don't have to have a paramount of faith. But God said if you had a mustard side seed of faith, that's all God requires of you and I now, is a mustard side seed of faith. So it's just like if you would stick your key into the door of your house, of where you reside. You stick your key in there. And if you have not had a new key made, then the old key should work into your entrance door. So you go there to your entrance door, you insert your key, you turn your doorknob or your latch, and then you're in. All right? You exit your house, you go out to your car, you unlock your door with your key. You know, you have that power key switch where it unlocks your doors before you get in the car. And then you get in, you close the door, you stick the key in ignition, sometimes it's keyless switch. But you know that those of you that has the key still have to use a key to operate your automobile. You insert your key into your car, you turn it, and your car cranks up. Well, that's the same size of faith that God is asking for. God is not asking for a mountain of faith. But we have people that just don't believe God. I mean, you can tell them all day. You can show them all day the scripture reading. You can tell them, well, you know, God healed me of cancer. God healed me of sickness and disease that was in my body. And you say, God healed me. And they'll say, yeah, oh, okay, that's good, you know. But then they still have unbelief when it comes to really believing God. And I just want to let you know that without faith, children of God and those of alike, without faith, I'm telling you, without faith, it is impossible. It's absolutely impossible to please God. And God said that we must believe that he is a rewarder, that them that diligently seek him. So in order to get something from God, you have to put in something. You don't go to your workplace and don't work and then go and say, hey, I've come after my paycheck if you didn't put in the work. So a lot of times because we do not receive from God is because we do not do anything. We just think God is just a magic trick. He just come out the box, you know, with all kind of blessings. But that is not the way it works. You have to put in order to get out. And according to the size of what you're asking God for, it might require more than just one prayer. And if you're asking God for a humongous blessing, may it be, you know, a new home, a new car, or a baby, get married, your own business, you want to go and put money into stock, whatever your desire is, you have to pray and you have to, the Bible says, these things, a lot of these things require us to go in prayer, in secret prayer in our closet, being alone with God, getting alone and crying out and talking to God one-on-one, moving the plate aside. Moving the plate back, getting down on these old wide knees. And mine, sometimes I just put a cushion underneath my knees because my knees are about shot. But I put cushions, pillows up under my knees to keep me comfortable. And you have to pray. You have to seek God's face for what you want, people of God. And those of you elect that don't really know God, this is the do's and the don'ts. You must pray. And then you knock. God said you knock, and the door shall be open. You seek, and you shall find. So we have to knock. We have to seek God's face. And then we have to wait on God. We can't hurry God. One songwriter says we just have to wait. But God is never late. God is an on-time God. And so I'm going to get on into my reading because, I just get excited when I go to talking about God. Hallelujah. And so God tell us that when we prayerfully are waiting for God's instructions, God give us a sense of direction. He gives us steady peace. And he established you and I and us in every task that God assigned us. God invites you and I and us to come our weary head to him. God said to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And that scripture reading once again is coming out of the law of Matthew 11 and 29. And we know that the rest that comes with salvation is not achieved by effort, but is received by faith, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about you're trapped inside of unbelief. You're trapped. The enemy wants you to be trapped. He wants you to block all your blessings. He don't want you to be blessed by God. But you can tell that demon that he's a liar, and he's the father of lies, that you're going to trust God from this day forward. Everything that you need, God's got it, because God owns you and I and the whole universe. The whole world he can place in his hands. We are just like micro dots in the eyes of God. God is everywhere, anywhere. God is all over the place. God is not limited that he can't heal. He can't answer all of our problems. The whole universe is at one time. That's just how great, how omnipotent God is. He can answer yours and mine and our prayers at the same time. Identical time. God is a power. He is a spiritual power. That's what he is. So I'm encouraging you. Don't be trapped inside of unbelief. But believe God and take him at his word. I double dare you to try him once. I double dare you to try him. And see if God, hallelujah, don't come through for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to share a testimony. God is leading me in this direction. I had pulled up to a business establishment, and my car sits real low to the ground. And I didn't want to ride up on that concrete block, because I had encountered with it once before, about 4 years ago. And I was into about almost $3,000 worth of damage. So I went into my parking place, which was a handicapped parking space, and I parked kind of crooked in a sense, you know, because like I said, I didn't want to park up on this concrete block that was going to tear my whole front of my car off. And, you know, somebody deliberately called the police. The police wasn't in the vicinity, but somebody deliberately called the police, I guess because they was mad at the car I was driving. And I don't know if they knew I was black or white or Chinese or Vietnamese or Cambodian or what. But I know that when I exit the store and I come up to my car, there was a ticket up under my windshield wiper. I removed it from the windshield wiper and I read it. And it says that I had now encountered a bill for $600 because I failed to have my placket where, you know, you could see it. And I had it stolen a few months ago. I had someone to just stick their hand inside of my car and just stole my placard. And it was locked. But somebody just, you know, big enough and bad enough, they thought to steal my placard. Now, I presume they sold it to get some money, you know, because, you know, they can sell it. It's good for a year, so you could sell it to someone, and, you know, they'd have, like, valet parking. But anyway, getting back to my story, so there I was with a $600 ticket. And I went down to the police station two or three times to talk to someone, nothing happened, you know. So finally, someone down at the police station contacted me and told me, you know, what I should do. I told them that somebody deliberately, you know, called the police on me. And, you know, and my placard, I had it, you know, on my person. And so she told me to write down, you know, everything and submit it with proof. And so I did. But before I did that, before I sent anything anywhere, because I'm not going to tell you to do anything that I'm not doing. When I'm preaching the divine word of God, I am a minister of God. So what I tell you, I live myself. I'm not going to tell you to do something I'm not going to do. So I wrote out on a piece of paper, you know, God, you know, bless this situation. I don't have no $600 to give these people. You know, there are people that are hurting, that are hungry, that are in need. And I do not have this kind of money to give to them just to be giving it to them. And I wrote out what I wanted to tell God. And I put it in my prayer box. And I just, a couple of days ago, got the response back in the letter from the police department. They told me that said this has been thoroughly investigated. So, Ms. Ward, this has been thoroughly investigated through the police department and said that we are dismissing your charge of $600. So, and all you have to pay, I think it was $25, I think, you know, whatever they had to do to send the letter out or whatever, you know. So it went from $600 to $25. That's what I'm trying to share with you, to just let you know that when you ask God, when you put your money where your mouth is, so when you put your faith in God, when you trust God, God will move in your behalf. You got to trust God. My motto is we got to trust God when we can't trace him. Because there's going to come a time when you call on God, he will be nowhere to be found. Because we got to call him while he's near right now. We can call on God. He'll answer. But God also said in his word, there's coming a time when you will call on me and I will be nowhere to be found. So it behooves you and I and us to call on God while we can call on him. We don't need to call Mr. Jones. We don't need to call Tyrone. But we need to call on God, because he's the go-to man to whatever you and I need in our lives. God's got it. If you need healing, God got it. You need money, God got it. You need a wife, God got it. You desire a baby, God got it. You desire a wife, God got it. God got everything that you need and more. But we got to trust him and take him at his word. Don't be trapped in unbelief, but believe God. All you weary and unrest souls, lay down. That was old song said, lay down my burdens at the riverside and study war no more. So we are to lay our heavy burdens down at the foot of Jesus. Because there's no problem too big that God cannot handle. You don't have a problem that God cannot solve. God said, I'll be a mother for you. I'll be a father for you. I'll be a sister for you. I'll be a brother for you. I'll be a friend when you're friendless. I'll be a comforter when you're lonely. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And I'm here to encourage you tonight. I want you to start trusting God starting right now. I want you to write down on a piece of paper what you want God to do in your life. It don't have to be a story, but just write down, you know, in just two or three, four or five lines. I mean, you know, just words, in four or five words. God, I need you to bless me to do this. Bless me to do that. I want to be married. I want to have a baby. I want to buy a car. I want to buy a home. I want to invest. I want to bless somebody. I want a new job. And write that down on a piece of paper. And I want you to find in your home two boxes. They can be cardboard box. It don't matter. I want you to find you two boxes and write prayer request on one and miracle on the other. Get your piece of printing paper and just cut it into strips. Put one on one box and write prayer request on it. The second box, I want you to write miracle box. So you have a request box. You're asking God for what you want in the request box. After God has answered that prayer petition, it moves to the miracle box. I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you what I've already done in my own life. So I'm not going to tell you to do anything that Overseer Ward is not doing. So when you do that, you write down what you want God to do. Not only do you write it down, but you put a date on it. So if the day is November the 27th, 2017, you write down 11-27-17 or 2017, however you want to write it. But you make sure you put your date in it. So when God answered that prayer petition, you can go back and say, well, I asked God on this month and this year, and God did it on this month and this year. You can compare notes what God has done in your life. I'm telling you, God will move on your behalf, but you have to trust God and not be a Thomas, down Thomas. But we have to trust God and take God at his word. Hallelujah. And you know, we should, those of us that know God, we should, hallelujah, be as Christians, hallelujah, we should be we should have an answer for anyone, hallelujah, for anyone that would ask us of our belief. We should always be ready to give a defense to anyone who would ask you and I and us our reason for the hope that is in you and I and us. And you can find that scripture reading in the law of 1 Peter 3 and 15. And so we know, hallelujah, that Jesus wants to bless us. Jesus wants to bless each and every one of us. Hallelujah. But we must trust God. And so when somebody asks you, well, you know, how do you know God will do this? How do you know God will do that? And you can say, well, I know because I asked God to do this for me, and God did it. I asked God to put some money in my bank account, and God performed it. You said, I needed my electric bill paid, and God performed it. I needed my garbage bill paid, and God did that. I needed my son or daughter college tuition paid, and God did that. I needed my tithes and my offerings for church, and God blessed me to get that. Whatever you ask God to do, God will do that. God is just a prayer away. And so we know that as believers, we can bear witness of our faith. So God tell us, always be ready. Even Peter had urged to give a defense to any and everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And so we know that when we ask God in faith, God will do what we have asked him to do. God wants us to have everything that we need. God said, I will supply all of your needs. But not only that, God will just, He's God already told us that I will supply all your needs according to my riches. But not only God will just supply our needs, but do you know that God will give you your heart desire? Do you know God will give you some of your wants? God is not just, you know, a God that, well, I'm just going to pay your bills. I'm going to make sure you got a roof over your head. But God, go a little further. And then God will give us, hallelujah, our desires. That's what God will do. You say, well, God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And all we got to do is just trust God and take God at his word. God is standing by to bless us. And I believe God really gets a joy out of blessing us. But God wants us in the same token to trust him. And if God say he's going to bless us, God is going to do that. God say he's going to heal you, then God is going to do that. God is a God of his word. And he's going to do what he say he's going to do. You say, well, I desire to be married. You say, but you know, they say there's not enough men in the world. I want you to know God is not going to have us unequally yoked. That's what he said. So if you want to be married, I guarantee you God's got a husband for you. You might not know where he is, but God does. You say, I desire a wife. God will give you that ideal wife. God will give you whatever you desire. But like I said, it really depends on the weight of your need or of your desire. So if you have a huge prayer request, then you will have to do a little bit more in order to get that accomplished. Like I first stated earlier, you'll have to get away from the table. And you will have to Get on your knees and fast for a length of time. You know, don't be where you say, well, you know, I can't fast, you know, for 6 hours or 12 hours. You know, I'm going to die. You know, that's just a fabricated lie. Because if God went 40 days and 40 nights, God said, whatever I've done, you shall be able to do, and greater things. So God has put a greater confidence in you and I. He said, greater things you'll be able to do than I did. So if God went 40 days and 40 nights, guess what? You and I can go 40 days and 40 nights if we chose to do so. But we'd be trapped in our unbelief. Trapped that the devil say, you can't do that, or you be dead, honey, you be dead. But God said, those who keep their mind stayed on me, I'm going to keep you in perfect peace. So God will keep you in perfect peace. All you got to do, hallelujah, is just take God at his word and believe. Believe him. And that he'll do what he say he's going to do. That's all you got to do is trust God. Don't doubt him, but trust him. And take him at his spiritual word. And I guarantee you, God will move in your life like never before. I tell you, God is so awesome. You know, I had been looking for my tweezers. And that's not a big deal, but it's a big deal to me. And I've been looking for my tweezers. I had two sets. And I was looking for them, and I had searched and searched. I could not find them. Well, today, when I went down in my living area, and I moved around a napkin holder that I had my dinner napkins in, and God said, there it is. Look, daughter. And it's like, soon as I moved that, just moved it around, bam, there was my tweezers. Now, insignificant as it might sound to you, but it was dearly significant to me. And I immediately give God thanks. I said, God, you are so awesome. I said, you're so mindful. I said, you are just so awesome. I just had to praise God right where I was standing. See, God is a jealous God, people of God, in your life. God don't want us loving on nothing or nobody more than him. I don't care if God is giving you a brand new nephew, brand new grandbaby, brand new grandniece, nephew. God do not want us to get enthused over nothing or nobody that's going to take his place. God said he's a jealous God. So it behooves us to don't get so wrapped up and tied up into those grandchildren. Love them, true enough, yes. I love my grandchildren. I love my children. They're all adults. But I do not love them more than I love God. I love God. He's on my number one list. And then my children fall suit next. And my grandchildren. But we have to know where we stand in God and with God. We're either in with God or we're out. We can't be straddle a fence. Can't serve God and Satan at the same time. You cannot walk hand in hand in darkness and light because they cannot walk hand in hand. But I'm just telling you what God will do. God is so mindful. I got so many testimonies. I can't even share all of them tonight. But I got so many testimonies. Hallelujah, that I could share with you that God has performed miracles before my very eyes because I trust him. That's what I live. I live a faith-based lifestyle every day. I don't lean to my own understanding, but I lean on God. I trust God. I take him at his word. But I hope, because I know God is a God that he don't fail. God don't fail. God is triumphant in every single, hallelujah, every single thing that he does. He does it well. So our message on tonight has been trapped. We're talking about unbelief. We're talking about faith in God. We should have faith in God. Just like you have faith to stick your key into your door and you have faith enough that it should open. That's the same faith that we should have in God, and more so. Because just look over your life and see what God has already done in your life. Take an inventory of what God has already performed in your life, in your children's life, in your family life, in your in-laws' life, in your relatives' life, in your colleagues' life, your friends' life. God has already showed his hands in the lives of each and every one of us that is alive and well right now and in your psychological being. God has already showed himself to be real in your life. But you got to trust God. You got to loose the yoke of bondage of unbelief, because you will not get anywhere with God. God cannot bless you if you don't trust him. You got to trust God when you can't trace him. You got to take him at his word. If God said it, will he not make it good? Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And look like I'm going to extend this a little bit, because I've just been talking about your faith, and I want to share a little bit more. Hallelujah, because it is essential that we trust God. And so we're going to read the next key scripture, and it reads this. Both he who sacrifices and those who are being sanctified. Both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Hebrews 2:11. And I just want to share a little story. And there was a chorus of groans erupted after the announcement of a flight that had been delayed an hour and a half because of bad weather. And the plane, it was said that they was allowing only a few planes to land in just a short time. But later, there was another announcement, and it caused those same individuals that had been groaning to reach out in a cheer. And it says that they had a medical coroner's that was transporting a bone marrow for a transplant for a patient. And that gave their flight, that which originally would have been delayed, but because of this individual needing this transplant, it gave that plane top priority. And so these individuals was now going to go on to the designated places. So we know that we can have anxiety because we don't know what the next moment will bring. But if we just don't worry, God don't want us to worry. He said, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So God wants us to pray in supplication about everything. Even when everything seems to be going along good in your life, God still tell us to pray. You said, I haven't heard anything bad news in my life and my family, my friends. I don't know. It just seems like it's too good to be true. But just know this one thing, that somebody's praying for you and your family. It's not because of things are going on that good or that fine, but there are people that are praying in high places around this nation that are praying for one for another. And the Bible tells us, said that the prayer of a righteous one availeth much. So God, take our prayer into priority. His children's prayers, when we come to him in supplication, we are a priority to God. God don't put us on the back burner and say, dial me back, daughter, tomorrow. Dial me back, son, the next hour. But God can answer our prayers at the same time. At the same identical time, God can answer this whole planet. Now you said, boy, that's a lot of people. Well, honey, don't you know God made us? Believe that. God made us. He know all about us. He know each and every one of us name by name. He can count every strand on our head one by one. Hallelujah. That's the way God knows us, because he made us. God said, I made you in my own image. So why shouldn't God know all about us? God knows us in detail. God knows us from the head to the toe, through and through. He's a mind reader. He's a mind revelator. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So I want to encourage you to come out your entrapment of unbelief and believe God. Lay your burdens, your heavy loads down at the feet of God. God cares all about us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. And each day, you and I, we should thank God for the saving work of Jesus Christ, who loved you and I and sacrificed his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Because God tell us, no one can take my life. So no one took God's life, but he laid his life down. And in 3 days, Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. Where is Muhammad? Where is Buddha? Where is Buddha? Where are those individuals that you call your God? Well, I'm here to tell you, those individuals is in a cold grave right about now. And Jesus Christ is the only one that in 3 days he come out the grave, because death could not hold him. Jesus is alive and well today. Those of you that have life, have spiritual life of Christ living inside of you, you know that God lives in you. When you gave your life to God, You gave God the authority to reside in your heart. But it's got to be clean. It's got to be rid of hatefulness, jealousy, covenant, malice, deceit. It has to be rid of all of those things. Because God resides in only a clean temple. I'm talking about that spiritual heart of ours. We have to keep it holy. We have to keep it free and clean of debris. I'm talking about sand debris. We got to keep it holy for God to remain in that heart of ours. We have to remain holy. So I'm asking you to allow God to loose the shackles of unbelief in your heart today and give you a heart of belief. Believe God that he will heal you. The doctor says you have a terminal disease. But you can speak to that terminal illness and tell yourself, I hear what the doctor says, but I know a greater doctor. He's called the great physician. And he took 39 stripes across his backside for my healing. Tell that demon that you'll heal. Yeah, I see the doctor report. But I'm going on Dr. Jesus' report that he died and he took 39 stripes for my healing. That says the word of God. God is a healer. He can heal you, but you must believe it. Because if you don't believe it, then you will take the doctor's word at face value. You say, well, the doctor, give me 6 months to live, and that's all I'm going to live is 6 months. Well, if that's what you believe and that come out of your mouth, the Bible says we can speak a blessing or a curse. So you're speaking a curse when you said that you're going to die in 6 months because the doctor said it, speaking a curse. But if you say, yeah, I read the doctor report, but I'm going to live because Jesus said he already took 39 stripes for my healing. I'm going to live. I got the faith of the size of a mustard seed that I'm going to live and I shall not die. And God see your belief. God will heal your body instantaneously. You go back to the doctor in the next 2 weeks. And the doctor do another x-ray. Said, I don't know what you did in the last 2 weeks. Said, but we don't see any signs of cancer tumors anymore. They're gone. Why? Because God has healed you. God wants to heal you today. God wants you to be a believer and not an unbeliever. But God wants you to be a believer on today. God wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. But the devil wants to keep you under his clutches and have you trapped in unbelief. That God is not going to heal you. God is not going to give you a wife. God is not going to give you an ideal husband. God going to, you got to go out here and get Mr. J.D. out here. Mr. J.D. is out here committing sin and doing whatever he wants to do. God going to give you a man out in the world and you can fix him up and you can carry him to church. That is not the way God operates. God said, I will give you the desires of your heart. You say, God, I want a husband. God will give you an ideal husband. God is not going to go in the world and get you no sinner to marry. Then you are unequally yoked because you are saved and he's not. Now, if you and him was in the world together, you was unsaved together, and you found God and he didn't, that's a different story. Because by your lifestyle, you can win over the husband. The wife's lifestyle can win over the husband. And then the husband, if they have an unsaved wife, can win over the wife. That is the scripture of God. This is not what I'm making up, but this is in the word of God. I do not add from God's word, neither do I take away. But this is the word of God. So God is not got to, God do not have to go into the world to get you a husband. He don't have to go in the world and get your wife. God have your wife in waiting. He have your husband in waiting. You say, I've been desiring a baby for 30 years, and I'm almost too old. Well, honey, God will give you a baby if you desire one. God is systematically God. All you have to do is apply your faith. Pray and ask God in prayer. God wants to bless you on today. God wants to give you all that you desire. You don't have to be limited. If God blessed this one over here, God can bless you. God blessed this one, financial money, God bless you. God bless this one with a new automobile, God can bless you. God bless this one with a home, God can bless you with one. God bless this one with a church building, God can bless you with one. But you have to take the limits off of God. Don't put God into a box. Take God out of a box. God's an omnipotent. God owns everything. God owns Dow Jones. God owns the stock market. God owns the gold bars. God owns the bank. God owns the financial institutions. God owns every idealistic thing that's on this planet. God owns it. Man don't own it. Man oversees it. God owns it. God tell us that when you came here, you didn't have nothing. You was naked. You didn't even have on a diaper. You did not have nothing. You didn't have no money in your hand. You didn't even have a diaper on your body. So when we come in here, we didn't have nothing. And when we exit, we're going out that same way. But while you're here, God is waiting to bless you. But God has not blessed you, cannot bless you, until you believe God. You've got to believe God and take God at His word. God can do anything, but it's one exception. There's no failing in God. God can do all things, but it's one thing cannot, shall not, will not do, and that is fail. There's no failing in God. We fail. We have failed marriages. We have failed courtship. We have failed jobs. We have to relocate, go to another city, another state, a whole other country sometime. But we know that there's no failing in God. So I want to encourage you, take the limitation off of God. Put the limitation on self, but take the limitation off God. Don't let the devil trap you in a mind of unbelief. But take God's word at face value. Everything that God says He's going to do, He's done. And that has not been done yet in His word is coming to pass, not on our time watch, but on God's time watch. You just keep on looking, keep praying. Because God is a God of His word. Hallelujah. So I hope and I pray, in ending, I've said something to my nature, spirit, and infuse your mind. As I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petition you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. You can send your correspondence to P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. We're going to now open up the studio dial-up request line. If you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer and touch and agree with you, a prayer petition that you have placed at the feet of God, you're welcome to call in. And those numbers to call in are 646-230-74. That number again is 646-230-74. The lines are open to call in and speak with yours truly And I will be glad to pray with you in faith that God will bring it to fruition. Hallelujah. I just think those of you that, like I said, that's graciously keep the Old Ship of Zion apart for your listening program. I just thank you. And God is going to bless you. God has a blessing with your name on it. God know where you live. He won't get it twisted. It will not go to the wrong address. But God will get it to the rightful owner. And that is you. And so, if there will not be any prayer requests at this time, we're going to turn you over to our second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. To uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we meet again, I want you to buckle up with Jesus at your will, because he is people friendly. Hallelujah. I want you just to go in God and allow God to go in you. So until we meet again, you be blessed. Up next, Hymns of Zion.
In my dream. nothing but thin air, talking to a God that isn't there.
Oh,
never thought.